In a small village many, many, many years ago, there was a poor farmer. He was so poor that in order to buy seeds to plant his crops, he had to borrow money from the richest man in the area. After a few years, the rich man began to demand that the farmer would pay back the money he had borrowed. But of course, the farmer didn't have money, and so the rich man threatened to have the farmer thrown into jail if he couldn't pay his debt. But one day, the farmer was approached by the rich man, and the rich man said to him, "Listen, I know you can't pay what you owe me, so I have an offer to make to you. I'm willing to cancel your debt, and you will not have to go to prison. And in return, all you need to do is to give me your daughter in marriage." Now, the rich man was not a very beautiful or handsome guy. As a matter of fact, he was old, he was very mean, and he was very, very ugly. And he said, "Just give me your daughter, your beautiful daughter, in marriage, and I will cancel your debt." The farmer's daughter was young, she was innocent, and she was beautiful. And when the farmer heard this offer, he was disgusted. And he said, "If I have to spend the rest of my life in jail, I would never give my innocent, young, and beautiful daughter to a man like you." And then the rich man said, "Well, wait a minute. What if you could be relieved of your debt? What if you didn't have to pay your debt? What if you didn't have to go to prison? And what if you didn't have to give your daughter to me in marriage?" And the farmer said, "What do you mean?" And the rich man said, "Well, why don't we have just a little wager, just a little game of chance? Here's what we will do. I will take two stones, one black and one white, and I will put them in a bag. And your daughter will draw one of the stones out of the bag. And if she draws out the white stone, then your debt will be canceled. You won't have to go to prison. And your daughter won't have to marry me. But if she draws the black stone out of the bag, you will still be free of your debt. You won't have to pay me any money, and you won't have to go to prison, but your daughter will need to marry me. She will become my wife." Now, the farmer thought about this, he thought about it for a long time, and he decided that since his daughter had a good chance, an even chance, a 50-50 chance of not having to marry the rich man, the farmer decided this would be his best chance of paying his debt and not having to go to prison. Because if he went to prison, what would happen to his beautiful young daughter then? She would be in a terrible way. So the farmer thought this was the best thing for him to do. So the next day, all the town gathered around the house of the rich man. And the rich man was standing on one of the paths leading to his garden. And this was a path that was covered in black pebbles and white pebbles. And the rich man just reached down very quickly, picked up two pebbles, and put them into the bag. Now, the farmer's daughter was watching very carefully, and she had very good vision. And she noticed that the rich man actually picked up two black pebbles and put them into the bag. And then he reached out the bag to her and he asked her to draw a pebble. And now she had to decide what to do. She knows she cannot win. She reaches her hand into that bag and pulls out a stone. It's going to be a black stone, which means she can't possibly win. So what should she do? What would you do in a situation like that? She thinks about it and she decides she has three options. Option number one, she can refuse to draw. She can call the whole thing off, but if she does that, her father will still have that terrible debt. He will probably still go to prison. It won't help the situation at all. Second, she could reach in the bag, draw out those two black stones, and expose the rich man as a cheat. But that wouldn't help her situation either. Her father would still owe the money, And the rich man would probably be so angry after being exposed as a cheat, he would throw her father in jail immediately. Or third, she could just go ahead and reach into the bag, knowing she's going to pull out a black stone and sacrifice herself and her happiness for the sake of her father. There are times in life when we have to make decisions and it seems as if there is no good decision. It seems as if there's no way to win. So let me ask you, what would you do if you were in the daughter's shoes? Remember, you've only got a few seconds to decide because the rich man is standing there with the bag. You've got to do something. What would you do in that situation? Let me tell you what the daughter did. She reached her hand into the bag and pulled out a stone, but before she opened her hand to show people what color the stone was, she accidentally, quote, accidentally, unquote, she accidentally dropped the stone, and it immediately disappeared amongst all those millions of white pebbles and black pebbles on the path. And then the daughter said, "Oh no, I dropped the stone, clumsy me. Now we'll never know what color stone I drew out of the bag." And then a few seconds later, she said, "But wait, I know. All we have to do is see what color is the stone that's still in the bag, because whatever color that stone is, I must have drawn the opposite color." Now the rich man, knowing that his business depended upon his reputation for honesty, he had to go along with it. There was nothing he could do. He reached into the bag and pulled out the black stone, and everybody in the village realized that the daughter must have drawn the white stone. And so the farmer kept his farm. He was very happy. He was saved from his debt. He didn't have to go to prison. And a few years later, his beautiful daughter met a man that she really loved, and they became husband and wife. And everyone lived happily ever after. Everyone except the rich man, because the only wife he could find was just as old, just as mean, and just as ugly as he was. There are times in life when there seems to be no way out of a difficult and troubling situation. There seems to be no answer. But the reason there seems to be no way out and no answer is because if there is an answer, that answer is so far outside of our thinking that we can't even imagine it. And that is true of the Christmas story. The Christmas story actually begins when the world was born. God created a heaven and an earth, and then he created two people. He created two human beings. He created a man and a woman, and they are our ancestors. They are our ancient relatives. And God placed them in a beautiful garden, a garden where they had everything they could ever need, and life was perfect, absolutely perfect. But then one day, the man and the woman decided to make a terrible decision. They chose to disobey God. They chose to do the very thing God told them that they must not do. They disobeyed God, and the Bible calls disobedience sin. And they brought sin into their beautiful and perfect existence. Now, because God is holy, because he's perfect, because he's absolutely righteous, he cannot tolerate the presence of wrong or sin, and so he had no choice but to remove the man and the woman from his presence. They had to leave the Garden of Eden. And because God is the only source of life, when they were forced to leave God's presence, they began to walk a path that leads to death. Now, if this had only happened to the first man and the first woman, it would be bad enough. But the Bible says that ever since that day when Adam and Eve made that terrible decision, every human being has made the same choice. Every human being has decided at some point in their life to turn against God, to rebel, to do the things they know God does not want them to do. Every human being has made decisions From day to day, we have made decisions where we have disobeyed God and God's word. And for that reason, we have all been walking a pathway that leads to death. But there are two kinds of death. There is physical death, where the heart stops and physical life ceases. And then there is spiritual death. Spiritual death is the death that takes place when we have left this world, when physical death has occurred, and we don't have a relationship with God, and so we are forever separated from the presence of God. But God, who created us and gave us life, does not want us to be forever separated from Him. But what could God do? What could He possibly do? If He looked at us and said, I know you have done wrong, I know you have sinned, I know you have hurt people, I know you have carried out crimes, I know you have thought terrible thoughts, I know you have hated people, I know you've done terrible things, but I'm going to pretend that none of that happened. I'm just going to overlook it. I'm going to pretend as if everything is okay. If God did that, then there would be no justice in the universe, because justice demands that every wrongdoing be punished. In order for justice to exist, there must be equal justice for all. If everyone who steals is punished, but you are able to steal and you are not punished, then there is no justice. There is no justice in the universe. Justice requires that every act of wrongdoing be punished. So God had a choice. He could either ignore His own standards, He could either overlook our sin, and He would no longer be a God of holiness and righteousness. There would be no justice in the universe. Or He could allow the punishment that we deserve to come to us, and we would be separated from Him for all eternity. What a choice. God could either save us and destroy justice, or destroy us and save justice. What a decision, what a choice to have to make. But just when all seemed lost, God came up with another idea, an idea that if you and I had been there, we would never have imagined. God sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought Him into this world at that first Christmas. He was born in a town called Bethlehem, and He came to this world to take on Himself the responsibility for all our wrongdoing, the responsibility for all our sin. And not only did He endure the responsibility, not only did He take on Himself the guilt and the shame, but He experienced the punishment that all our sin deserves. And He experienced that punishment on the cross. He died for your wrongdoing. He died for my wrongdoing. Every wrong that's ever been committed, Jesus died for all of those sins. And because He died for all our wrongs, God can now forgive us. He can now accept us. He can receive us. And He is still a God of justice. He's still a God of righteousness. And justice is preserved. Justice is served because every act of wrongdoing has been punished. Not one sin, not one act of wrong has been overlooked. Every act of wrong has been punished. And love is victorious because, as the Bible says, God proved His love for us in that He sent His only Son to die in our place. And that's why Jesus was born. He was the Son of God, but He came to this earth as a human being so that He might die in our place, so that He might experience the punishment that our sin deserves. The Christmas story is not about Santa Claus. It's not about reindeer. It's not about the North Pole. We tend to focus on those things at Christmas time because it gets our mind off the embarrassing truth that we have all done wrong. We're all sinners and we all deserve to be separated from God for all eternity. Christmas story is not about presents and dinners and family parties and those who believe that Christmas is about nothing more than that, those people will never understand the meaning of Christmas, and they will never be able to make the Christmas story their story. The only people who can really profit from the Christmas story are those people who know how much they need a Savior And that's why when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the fields around Bethlehem, the angels said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That's the Christmas story. That's the Christmas story. And the Christmas story can change our life. But if it's going to change our life, we have to make the Christmas story our story. In a few minutes, you're going to hear two people who are going to get up and speak, and they're going to tell you how the Christmas story has changed their life. They're going to tell you how the Christmas story has become their story. And that can happen to us today. But we have to understand that Christmas is about the birth of a Savior. And we have to call out to that Savior to lead us, to become our Savior, and to give us forgiveness. That's Christmas. And you can have that tremendous gift today by trusting in Jesus.
And I have to read it off. So I've heard the Christmas story for as long as I can remember. I've watched and participated in countless Christmas plays. I personally played the part of star, angel, and sheep, but not all at the same time. The star, angels, shepherds, sheep, the wise men, Mary, Joseph, and of course, Jesus himself are the main characters portrayed year after year. And incredibly so, the Holy Spirit breathes life into the story and connects it to mine every single day, whether I can see it at the time or not. Christ came down, and he continues to come down to meet me where I am now in every season of my life. He gets me. He knows how hard it is to be human. He is the bright star that gives purpose and direction in my day-to-day walk. He is the wise, kind, and fearless shepherd who guides and cares for me, his very foolish lamb. Someone once said, "Think of the most kind person you know. Christ is infinitely more. Jesus must have been the most kind, gentle, generous, joyful, and authentic person ever to grace this planet. It is such a joy to encounter reflections of his character in his people. Christmas carols that are tucked away in my memory come back to life at the end of every year. But as I grow older, the familiar tunes take new meaning in life as the eyes of my heart have been continuously opened to understand the deep truths in timeless songs. Job said, "I had heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." I still have much to learn and even relearn about the Christmas story. But praise Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, and God the Father for being the ever-patient teacher on whose promise I cling to, that he who began a good work will be faithful to bring it to completion. I would like to end with a song that has recently resonated with me, "O Holy Night." No, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read a couple lyrics. "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth." The next three lines really stood out to me this year. "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." And I think I feel very weary at the end of the year, so I think that's why that line resonated. "For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." I just discovered that this song was originally written by a French composer, Adolphe Adam, in 1847. And this is the literal French to English translation of that verse. "Midnight, Christians, is the solemn hour when God as man descended unto us to erase the stain of original sin and to end the wrath of his Father. The entire world thrills with hope on this night that gives it a Savior. People, kneel down, await your deliverance. Christmas, Christmas, here is your Redeemer."
And sisters, I'm so excited to share. I'm so excited to be used by our Lord today to share his love with all of us in this precious morning. 10 days later, we are going to celebrate Jesus' birthday, the Christmas. Thanks to Jesus' birth, we have a major holiday. It is an exciting moment all over the world when we have a lot of discounts on so many kinds of clothes, food, and electronics. It is a festival when kids are expecting and receiving plenty of presents, and a carnival when we can take a long break to gather together with our family members and share the joys, music, and the delicious food. Suppose Jesus is a living friend of ours who is able to host such a big birthday party. He is absolutely the best, richest, and the most powerful friend of us, who loves us the most and is loved by us the most. Fortunately, the truth is that Jesus is alive. He was resurrected on the third day of his crucifixion. Jesus is an almighty friend. Think about the power of a king who rules the kings of all kingdoms, the power of a tiny seed in the soil that grows into a big and strong tree, the power of a doctor who has saved a seriously ill and dying man, the power of running the sun, the moon, and all the stars on their orbits. They are all very powerful, but far less than the omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God. He is the source of all that powerful power of all creatures in the universe. He has conquered death. Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, who had been dead many days, and many other dead people, and especially, he was miraculously raised on the third day of his crucifixion. Jesus is a rich friend. He is continuously giving all of his true riches without asking for rewards. Having such a rich friend, we don't need to worry about food and clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? His true riches are ampler than Solomon in all his splendor. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Our Lord knows what we need and can give us what we need. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is a loving friend. What was the feeling of being loved by someone? Recall the time when you were falling in love with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Did you feel that you were able to do anything? Did you feel that you could jump higher, run faster, and score higher in the exams? Love gives us energy and power. Our Lord loves all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. His love is steadfast and endless. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He had begun loving us even before we knew him and recognized his mercy on us. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But why did our friend die for us? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus loves us. Why am I telling you so much about our friend, our Lord? Because I know the importance of knowing our Lord. In Chinese, we call Christmas Eve 平安夜, meaning peaceful night. Chinese people like to eat apples at Christmas because the word for apple, 苹果, sounds like the word for peace, 平安. We have been eating apples at Christmas for so many years. However, many of us are not fortunate enough to know why Christmas brings us peace. As written in 1 John 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. 2 years ago, the first time I knew this, I believed. I was so grateful that the good news was heard by me, thanks to a pamphlet that introduces the Bible, which can't be sold in China's market. I was aware that for 32 years I had been separated from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. I opened the door and was saved. My whole life was changed inside out significantly. The magnitude of that significance was so immense and overwhelming, far more tremendous than any human effort or chicken soup. Of course, all of this was witnessed by my wife. Therefore, not long after, my wife opened the door, not to let me out, but to invite our Savior in. Both of us were baptized here in September this year. It is the Jesus birth that has made all these amazing things available. We are celebrating the Christmas because the Savior was born on Christmas Day. We are giving gifts because the biggest gift was given to us on Christmas Day. A Savior was born. Let's disseminate this good news throughout the world. All of us can be saved as long as we know our Lord, make friends with him, receive the gift, and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Thank you, and peace be with you.
Amen. Thank you to everyone who was part of our Christmas service today. Thank you for coming and enjoying the day with us and for having breakfast with us and then sharing in this wonderful moment. And I want to just have everybody stand, and we're going to close in a word of prayer, and then we have a final carol. But let's all stand and look to the Lord in prayer, because Christmas is about the birth of a Savior, the one who came to this world to save us from all the things that seek to separate us from God. And so if all Christmas means to you is presents and dinners and parties and get-togethers, you have missed Christmas. And you don't want to miss Christmas, because Christmas is about the Savior who can set you free from all of the guilt, all the shame, all the horrible feelings of the past, and who can give you life that will never end. Christmas is the Savior, and he is for you. Would you bow in prayer? Father God, thank you so much for the good news about a Savior. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, if there's anyone here who has not been forgiven, who has not been cleansed, and who has not been given the promise of life that will never end, I pray, Lord God, that you would give that person the courage, the faith, the trust to reach out to you and to ask you to be their Savior and to change their life. Lord, help them to understand that that is why you came, and you came for them, for every person on this earth. You came for each of us in order that we might have life that never ends. Lord, help us to celebrate what Christmas is really about. A Savior has been born to us. His name is Jesus, and he came for us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.